Megan, I've got a trick for you.
Yeah?
Pick a card, any card. Don't show me the card.
All right.
Okay, look at that card.
Yep, I've got
show
that card.
It to the camera. All memorize right. It. I'm not going to look. I'm hiding my I'm hiding my face.
This is not an exciting
put it back
intro for people
into the deck.
The podcast.
And now I've shuffled. Was your card Gonti, Lord of Luxury?
No.
I have no idea what your card is. I'm not a magician. I'm a magician with a capital M. Boom! Magic trick.
Is this supposed to be a sick burn on me?
No, it's just like how everybody, you know, when you say, I do magic, or I, you know, play magic, people assume that you're a magician.
Well, wait, if you say, I play magic, then that sounds like if they think that you're associated with traditional magic.
That I'm just playing
you're
around.
Somehow, like, playing magic. It's just like, oh man, magic thinks it's all cool, but I'm playing it.
Haven't you ever been misassumed for being, you know, cape and top hat magician?
Did I tell you the story of the time that my Lyft driver was a magician?
No.
Oh man, okay, so to be fair, this was because I did not, even that person knew what I was talking about because his story was like, it turns out that he had watched some of our videos before because he would type magic into YouTube and we would come up. So he's like, I've never played, but I think I've heard of that.
Wow.
Because.
Nailing those YouTube algorithms.
Yep, we really are. We're killing it, man.
Well, this show is about capital M magic, not lowercase m magic, and we're glad to have you here. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And we've got a Cracker Jack show for you today.
Yep, that means that there's a prize in the middle.
There actually is, because...
I know!
Wow, that was great!
It was levels!
Wow! We're going to announce the winner of our Eternal Masters booster box!
That's right! For people who subscribed to our Twitch or YouTube channel, or followed our Twitch or subscribed to our YouTube channels. Last month, we had a drawing. We are giving away a box of Eternal Masters.
I know. It's going to be so great.
Exactly. Also, there's going to be caramel popcorn on either side of it. So get excited.
I mean, win, you know?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not disagreeing with
you. Okay. We're also going to talk about Aether Revolt preview cards because a bunch of them have been previewed over the last couple of days. And there's some sweet stuff in here, Megan.
That's right. We'll also chat a little bit about Vintage Super League, which started back up again tonight with some of their play-ins for who will actually play in the esteemed Vintage Super League. And Legacy, which is coming up this weekend at GP Louisville.
Two things that I know next to nothing about.
Louisville?
Yep.
And Legacy.
But we were just in Louisville.
We've been to Louisville.
Do you think they're going to have it in the same convention center that smelled like a horse?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Because it did. It smelled like a horse.
Yeah. Or other, like, honestly, like any livestock.
True.
Do you remember that gallery of portraits of old men?
Yes.
Who would all make contributions.
If you're going, please tell us if it's
science.
The same place that has the portraits of men who were livestock pioneers.
That's right.
It was
livestock
great.
Science pioneers.
Yeah. Oh, if I could only own one of those portraits.
Only one of those portraits?
I'd hang it above the toilet.
Okay, if I am ever a millionaire... I will buy you one of those portraits. And they'll be like, these are not for sale. This is like a commemorative gallery. And I'll be like, you don't understand. I have like, up to $1 million.
Let me show you this checkbook and we'll see how you
we'll
change your mind.
We'll see how you feel about it being a commemorative gallery.
We've also got a Flavor Text Theater coming your way. But before that, of course, we have to say thank you to everybody who has shown us some love this past month. And since we ever started posting on Patreon, everybody who's a patron.
Thank you so much. You literally help keep our show going, and we appreciate it so, so much.
We recently hit a big goal on Patreon, but then we kind of backslid a little bit, which is normally how it goes. It's up and down, up and down. So if you're thinking, oh, they hit their goal, I can pull out. It's like, well, it doesn't.
No, don't, because a bunch of people think that. And I want a sweet winter hat. I want us to make sweet winter hats.
Me too.
Don't you want to wear a good luck high five hat?
I do. Right now, I wish I had one on my head instead of this stupid hair.
Maria, you don't have to take off your hair to put on a hat.
What?
Okay,
I shave my head every time I put a hat on.
You don't have to.
Oh, Well, I've been doing a lot of work this winter for nothing.
Yeah, you really have.
By the way, my hair grows, you know, absurdly fast.
Absurdly fast. Mm-hmm. I guess, on the other hand, like, you could just keep doing that. Yeah. If you didn't, your hair would be really long.
Big thank you, of course, to CardKingdom.com, our sponsor of this show. Card Kingdom, just a fantastic place. They're looking, by the way, they're hiring for somebody to help stock and mail out their cards.
Ooh, you hear that? You could be the person who helps mail out Card Kingdom's cards.
I know, and they're always so cool. So if you want to be a cool person with some super cool coworkers, apply for that job.
Yeah, man. And even if you don't apply for that job, order your cards, etc. from cardkingdom.com/mtacast.
And, of course, we got to talk about really quick, our good friend Judge April made us a series of 10 videos about Vintage Cube.
Holy cow.
Wow.
If you listened to our holiday episode, you heard her talk in depth about the Cube. She is a Cube connoisseur. She knows what the frick she's talking about.
Sure does.
And, yeah, you can head on over there.
That's our YouTube channel, youtube.com/mtacast. Great Vintage Cube videos from Judge April. And speaking
you
of...
You will also find...
Yeah.
A what? New Magic the Prothering.
Oh, yes. Oh, my
with
gosh.
With Huey Jensen.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's with a
amazing.
Video version.
It's great. Yes. You can find the podcast version for your ears, or you can find the video version for your eyes and ears on YouTube.
So we created a sort of a sister channel to our main channel, youtube.com/mtacast. You can find MTA Plays, and that's going to be all of our Magic Online videos, including some Cube drafts from April are up there right now. So if you want to see the master in action, find our little baby channel, MTA Plays, on YouTube to see those drafts. But yeah, more great content coming from us on YouTube in the near future. So thanks for subbing, and hopefully you'll stay subbed and get some sweet videos in your inbox from time to time. It's time to revolt, Megan.
What?
That's right. Grab your ether spear and your gremlin bomb and let's hit the streets.
Maria.
What?
You were the last person who I thought would ever say the words gremlin bomb.
How could you? I'm just going to let them out.
Why did you not say gremlin grenade?
Great question.
If there is an option for alliteration, you always take it.
That's probably got to be what that card art is, right? Of that gremlin inside
that
little bottle.
That's what I thought,
yeah. Gremlin grenade,
for
sure.
It's a gremlin in a bottle, gremlin grenade.
Yeah, it has to be.
Absolutely.
If it's not, I will eat my shorts live on this podcast.
That's an offer.
Can't get out of that
there
now.
There you go. No, you sure can't.
A bunch of cards got previewed, including a preview card that we had.
Yes.
Free Jam Regent, which Megan mistakenly thought meant she was going to get free jam when she came.
Well, do you know what? I'm personally still pretty hurt.
Well,
that there has been no toast topper given to me.
I need a toast topper.
Yeah, man. I'm not going to eat this toast as is.
No one would eat a dry piece of toast.
Okay. Someone would.
If you would eat a dry piece of toast, please tweet at us at MTACast, because I don't think anybody would.
I think someone would. I bet you someone would.
Why?
I will bet you $5 that there is a person out there who eats dry toast.
There's a lot of bets going on this show tonight.
There really are. This one feels more low stakes than the last one.
Than me eating my shorts
live.
Well, besides Free Gem Regent, which is a sweet dragon, and you can check out our preview video of it on our YouTube channel, what card struck you that was previewed in the past couple days, Megan?
Man, there have been just a ton. We finally get to meet Yeheni.
Yes, we do. Turns out, vampire.
Yes, a vampire Aetherborn.
That's kind of crazy.
That
Does that
is
mean
pretty crazy.
That he drinks ether or that they, blood?
I don't know what they do.
I know that they can suck kind of life force out of people and steal it for themselves. So maybe that's what they're referring to.
So Yeheni,
yeah,
you
that's
think
what he's doing?
Yeah, they.
Uh-huh.
No, they.
Oh, right. Did I say
yeah. I think that does look, huh,
that
that's
looks
creepy.
Like what's going on in that art.
Yeah.
Getting your life force sucked out. It's like a Dementor.
Oh, creepy.
Spooky.
Okay, but okay.
What?
So, do people on Kaladesh have ether in their bodies?
That's what that art is suggesting to me.
But Yeheni could also be vampiring other Aetherborn.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah, but that looks
Aetherborn
like a human.
Are made of ether, right?
Yes.
So they could... vampire each other.
Yeah. Yeah, which is unique because normal vampires cannot vampire each other.
No, normal vampires cannot vampire each other. And normal humans cannot vampire each other because they're not vampires.
Right.
But you're right. It does look like a normal person.
Yeah. So let me read this card.
So do normal people have ether in them?
I mean,
on Kaladesh, that's what this is implying.
That's what I'm, I think it's implying. That, like, just as we all have traces of lead in our blood, thanks to the paint and the various other things that we consume in our environment, so do the people of Kaladesh.
So that it could be a plot point in that one X-Men movie.
Oh, was it?
No, that was Iron. My bad.
Oh, well, you know, same sort of situation.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Was this a Magneto thing?
Yeah, you remember when there was like, it was when he was like locked away in his...
And then he's like, haha, just kidding, you idiots. Everybody has iron in their blood, haha.
No, no, because what's her face? Who with the changing faces? Oh, God.
It's a great synopsis. The blue one? The naked blue one.
What's her face with the changing faces?
Yeah.
Got one of the guards drunk in a bar and put extra iron in his drink. No, she got him super drunk and then she stabbed him with an iron shot. She could have also just put it in his drink. She really went above and beyond with the injection scenario. Anyways, and then the guard was checking on Magneto, who was being held in his special little, you know, like no metal prison, so he couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And Magneto was like, there is too much iron in your blood. And he pulls the iron straight out of the dude.
Sick.
And the guy obviously dies.
I do remember that.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Magneto.
Why I remember an X-Men plot point from a decade ago, I don't know. But there you go. I guess maybe because I always thought Magneto was like pretty baller.
Yeah, Magneto is baller.
He is. All right, anyways, moving on.
Undying Partisan, 2 and a black for a 2/2. What? That's overcosted. Just kidding, it is haste. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, sacrifice another creature, it gets indestructible until end of turn.
Oof.
Strong.
Yeah, that's pretty vampire-y.
It is. I mean, first of all, it's got haste and, you know, it's going to be a 3/3. Probably, I mean, you could play it at the end of turn if something died or whatever. You can get some sneaky counters on it. I mean, sorry, it doesn't have flash.
No.
Haste. Anyway, it's going to grow because things die. That's just what happens.
Things die. It's just what happens. You hear that?
But also it has a sacrifice ability so it can grow itself whenever it wants to.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Nice. Maria.
What?
Was there anything that struck your fancy?
Well, obviously I have to mention Release the Gremlins.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a card. XX red, sorcery speed. Destroy X target artifacts. Create X22 red gremlin creature tokens.
Whew.
So.
That seems pretty sick. One. Like, let's just say that. Like, destroy an artifact, get a gremlin for 3 mana.
That's pretty good.
Or for 5 mana, you destroy 2 artifacts and you get 2 gremlins.
That's called tempo.
That's just called a good card.
It's rare.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's pretty strong.
Right next to it, we've got Aetherwind Basker.
This card is pretty cute, y'all.
It's 4 green.
What?
For a 7/7 trample lizard.
Whoa.
That's not its creature type. Its creature type is lizard, but it has trample.
Trample lizard.
Trample lizard.
That would be amazing.
Whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, you get an energy for each creature you control.
Oops, oh.
I did not see that part before.
Okay.
Wow. Never. Excuse me. You can pay a energy and it gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
This card's
could really.
A beast.
Yeah. It's
literally
a big beast.
And it looks like the dinosaur from Jurassic Park that hisses at him in the rain.
Yeah, it does.
This reminds me of Palaka Worm.
Palaka Worm.
Probably because it's the same cost and power and toughness.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
With tramps.
Yeah.
But
instead of gaining you life, it has, you know, this energy.
Energy
ability,
deal.
Where it gets all this extra power and toughness.
That seems like a nice 7-drop that I would, you know, it dies to removal. But trample's no joke, and that's a lot of energy. So I think this would be a card that I personally would have fun with.
Yeah, I agree. We also have SRAM Senior Edificer.
SRAM!
1 and a white for a legendary creature, Dwarf Advisor. He's a 2/2, and whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle spell, you get to draw a card.
This seems sick. In like the red white vehicle shell or the Mardu vehicle shell, like what?
Yeah, seems pretty solid.
Wow, that's a good card.
That is a good card.
Seeing standard play, calling it now.
Wow, that's a bold call.
I know it is, but if there is any kind of vehicles deck, he's going to be in it.
All right.
Saying it. I'm saying it.
No, I mean, I don't think you're crazy.
Thank you.
I don't think you're crazy.
I think I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, like, for other reasons.
Do you think Sram ever heard somebody say, Scram, and he thought they were saying his name?
Yeah, probably at least once.
Whenever anybody says, hurry up, I think they're saying Maria.
What?
Hurry up! Sounds like somebody's yelling Maria.
Like someone who didn't take time to move their mouth while they were saying your name. Hurry up!
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like it if I don't move my mouth while I'm saying it.
Yeah, maybe they were eating a cucumber. You never know.
Yeah. Or, like, their mouth was full of bread.
Dry toast, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe dry toast. That would really clog up your speech.
Mechanized Production is a card that I am very intrigued by.
Yes.
Okay, so it is 2 blue-blue. It is an aura. Mythic. Enchant artifact you control.
Ooh.
At the beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of enchanted artifact. Okay, value. Then, if you control 8 or more artifacts with the same name as one another, you win the game.
What?
It's an alternate win condition. These cards are always really strange.
So many turns.
It is a lot of turns.
That's 9 turns.
But you don't necessarily need all those turns.
7 turns.
They've got a lot of servos.
Oh, man, you could put it on a servo? That'd be really cool.
Or a thop-thop.
Like, what if you already had 8 servos and you just put it on it?
Win. You win.
Pretty sweet.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That would be really cool.
I hope it happens on the Pro Tour. At least,
I was going to say, like, just in general.
Yeah, in general.
I hope it happens.
Look, we tend to think, oh, if it happens, fingers crossed. Like, if we could make Brazella, will that ever actually happen? And yes. Then it happened at the pre-release.
Like, all the time.
All the time.
Yes. Yes.
So.
It'll definitely happen.
It will happen.
We have War of Invention, which is a little bit like, what's the card that I'm looking for? Thinking of? Come on. Green, green, green. X spell. It has Convoke. The new one has the big roaring panther on it. Come on!
Riparia Tiger?
No!
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the modern playable card.
Oh. For green, 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 and you go find the
An
thing?
X. And you go find an X.
A different Green Sun Zenith.
No, it's not Green Sun Zenith. It's, oh, God.
What deck plays it?
Elves plays it. Oh, I cast this card so many times.
It's because you're thinking about it too hard. Take a nap. Just let your brain go to sleep for a second and we'll get back to it.
I'm thinking too hard and my brain can't come off of
it. What's the one that Convokes out that was in Modern Masters and made you little...
That's the one I'm talking about.
Sapperlings?
Oh, no, not that one.
Oh.
I don't know what that one is at all.
That one's called, like, spawning.
Bed.
No. That's a land.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, and point is, this is that, but for artifacts, because it's blue, 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 X. It's an instant. It has improvise, so you can use tap artifacts to help pay for it. And it says, search your library for an artifact card with converted mana cost X or less. Put it onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So
Court of Calling!
There it is. There it is. I knew it would come out.
Court of Calling, War of Invention.
Just had to give you a little bit of a laxative.
No. I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that before it left your mouth.
Who took bets on whether I was going to make a laxative joke? Raise your hands.
Oh, man. Anyways, point is, it's like that, which it's a very powerful card, right?
Absolutely.
It lets you go fetch up whatever you need, which is a great effect.
So, I think of cards, decks like Tron or whatever, but I don't know. It's 3 blue is a tough casting cost.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a card that I think people will definitely try and abuse.
Yeah.
And see if they can make work.
And notably with Court of Calling, Convoke means that you can pay the green part of the casting cost with green creatures. Whereas this, the blue, blue, blue is just always.
Yeah, it's just always. You have to pay it.
You always have to pay the blue, blue, blue. So slightly less powerful.
I want to talk about this little green card, which I find... pretty interesting. Well, it's not so little, but it costs very little. Greenbelt Rampager. It's a single green.
Yes.
For 3/4.
Holy cow.
What you're saying to yourself? I agree.
Green for a 3/4. Yeah,
it's an elephant.
Reasonable.
When it enters the battlefield, pay 2 energy. If you can't, return it to its owner's hand and you get an energy. Hmm. Yeah. So I sent Megan this card when I saw it first previewed and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, just put Attune with Aether in your deck and then you play it on turn 2. Boom.
Done. You're 8 cards into your deck already.
Or you can play it on turn 1, play it on turn 2. No.
No.
Nope, that doesn't work. But like, that's sick. A 3/4 on turn 2.
Is crazy.
That's
crazy
really good.
And it gets around Yahania's expertise.
Yeah.
Very notably.
Yes, which gives -3/-3 to everything.
Yes. Although it notably does not get around
Doomblade.
A great new removal spell.
Yes.
Fatal Push.
I mean, something's got to die though, right?
No. Destroy target creature if it has converted mana cost 2 or less.
Oh, you're right.
Maria.
I thought it was power and toughness deal.
No.
Whoa!
It says, goodbye, Greenbelt Rampager. I don't care about your size. Get out of here. Pretty cool.
Fatal Push, by the way, seems a little pushed.
What?
Get it? I just want to make that joke. I mean, that's insane. It's a single black.
Yeah, so it's 1 black for an instant. Destroy target creature if it has converted mana cost 2 or less. Revolt. Destroy that creature if it has converted mana cost 4 or less. Instead, if a permanent you controlled left the battlefield this turn.
So we should talk a little bit about Revolt as well.
Yeah.
Which we haven't talked about yet. But first of all, let me just say, this card's very good.
Yes. People are already anticipating this season's modern play.
Yeah.
Because it kills Death's Shadow. It kills Tarmogoyf. Hello,
whoa,
friend.
You're right.
Goodbye.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it kills a lot of things.
And
without the revolt part, just the, you know,
Megan.
Modern is so focused on cheap spells.
Black's making a control comeback.
Yeah.
Big time. I mean, between expertise and this, it's like, yeah, I'll put some of these in my deck.
A person can dream.
So Revolt, what's going to happen with Revolt is I think it's pretty flavorful. It's like, my friend died in combat, so I get something extra. Like I have an extra surge.
It's really kind of dark when you think about it. I was going to say it's kind of morbid.
Oh.
Which is funny because it's a magic pun. Do you get it?
I do get it.
Okay, good.
Got it.
All right. Just wanted to make sure.
So if something has left the battlefield, that means you can cast the card and have the revolt effect happen. And they're all different. They're not always the same.
No.
Sometimes you get an extra something. In this case, a fatal push, you can kill something bigger as a reward for your buddy dying in battle. No, it doesn't have to die.
It could be more like the people on Kaladesh who are revolting. They're like leaving, you know, they're like,
they're so revolting.
Well, they're like leaving the structure, like the consulate, the way that the government is set up. They're leaving the system.
Oh, so they're like,
I'm out of this system.
Metaphor.
Exactly. Not even a metaphor. Well, it's more like, it's like symbolic. It's like gesture as opposed to actually literally dying. It's like, I'm leaving the system. I'm revolting.
Maybe they're migrating to another plane.
Oh, maybe, but they can't planeswalk.
They just hold hands with Chandra and she'll take them.
I don't think it works like that.
Well, I'm going to need that clarified.
I don't think it's a Superman situation.
Like he can just take them and they fly? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. I was like, what? Can Superman like transport people? And I didn't hear that ever. But they can, you can blink your creatures too, which we've seen, of course, with Cloudblazer and whatever aerial maneuver. Acrobatic maneuver.
Yes.
And that sort of thing. So it becomes even kind of even more important in a different way in this set to blink creatures as it was last set. So that's pretty neat. Here's a card you'll like, Megan. Reverse Engineer.
Ooh.
Which some people are saying, oh, it's too bad it's not a creature because that'd be a cute name.
That would be so great.
3 blue sorcery, which is the card's downfall. Otherwise, it might be too dang good. Improvise. So we know what that means. Mm-hmm. Artifacts can help cast it. Draw 3 cards.
Yes, please.
Wow. You know.
I'll take it.
That's the real deal.
I'll draw 3 cards.
Yeah.
What about Glimmer of Genius?
That's what the big debate is. Which is better? A lot of people still saying Glimmer because it's instant speed.
1, it's instant. 2, you scry 2 and you draw 2.
Yeah.
So like sheer volume you're down, but quality you're a little up.
So would you rather have that or say you could just reliably cast this for blue?
What? This.
So you would sacrifice your instant speed and your scrying and your energy for this.
If this just said blue, blue, draw three cards.
Sorcery.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So maybe there's a deck out there.
That would be busted.
Somebody's going to try and bust this bad boy. People are like, modern ban incoming. Boop. 3, 2, 1. I don't know.
I guess it could be good for like affinity. But they want to attack with all their artifacts. Anyways.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe they got a refill, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Refill the hand. I don't know. Well, these are...
Anyways.
We're just like sitting here like, I wonder. Huh. But that's the thing about when preview cards are released. Everybody just becomes all of a sudden an inventor. Like, we're all on Kaladesh.
Yes.
Oh, what could I do with this card? Oh, what deck could I build with this card? Like, I saw Greenbelt Rampager and I was like, ooh, I want to make a green deck with a lot of dudes and I want to play a Johnny's Abs on all of them and give them +1/+1 counters. Boom, boom, swing, swing, swing.
And I'll just fatally push them all.
Just you pushing an elephant like over a cliff.
Yep. There's also someone that I saw was Rishkar Pima Renegade. 2 and a green for a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures. Each creature you control with the counter on it has tap, add green to your mana pool.
This is for your elf deck, huh?
I just think, like, in general, I'm always interested to see ramp and standard, actually, to see kind of, like, what could happen. And this is pretty cool. Like, you can probably tap those creatures for mana that turn. So on turn 3, you could be casting 5 mana worth of things if you had two creatures out. Like, say on turn 2...
Two elephants.
You made 2 servos with, like, servo exhibition.
Yeah.
And then the next turn with this, you, like, you know, put counters on both of them, and then you tap 2 more. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, my story didn't work out, but yours did.
What was yours?
Because you couldn't have 2 elephants. But, you know.
You'd have to have a lot of energy somehow.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to cast a 5-drop on whatever, turn 4...
Well, you could...
Or turn 3. Well,
what?
What did you say?
You would be casting 5 mana worth of things on turn
3. Oh, I see. Okay,
because you would cast this, and then you'd have 2 mana to cast something
else. That makes sense.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. Then there's also, like, kind of like the one that's kind of like, whatchamacallit, but not.
Yeah, it's like that candy bar that nobody
Cascade.
Eats.
Cascade.
Oh, Cascade. Yeah.
Yeah. Cards like Rishkar's Expertise, 4 green-green. Draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. I can get behind that even though it's green, man. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 5 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
So normally cards like this, say it didn't have the second text block on it, we would say, don't play this card.
Yeah.
Because you don't know that you're going to have a card on the battlefield worth, you know, paying 5 mana to draw whatever off of. You might not have any creatures.
Yeah.
But does the second clause of being able to cast something for free in your hand make this good enough to play?
Oh, I think I would play this, yes. Yeah. Like, holy cow.
It's insane if
you
do
cast
it.
A 6 mana spell, and then you also just get to cast a 5 mana spell or less, and you don't tap any mana for it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, when it works. But...
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Cascade, because Cascade, you know, you get to go until you hit something and put it into play, but...
I do think it is good. I mean, it's a blowout, right?
Yeah. Holy cow. The same thing with, like, Yhenia's Expertise with, you know, you get to cast a card with 3 or less after you kill everything.
All this casting stuff for free? I'm just worried, Megan.
I'm excited. Let's get crazy up in here.
And it's not only, like... controlly cards that have this casting stuff for free clause on them either.
No, we have SRAM's Expertise.
SRAM's back.
That's right. Oh, they're all expertises. Experts. They're different people's expertness.
Yeah, it's a little cycle.
Expert. Create 3/1/1 colorless servo artifact creature tokens. You may cast a card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost.
Yeah? Sick.
Sick.
I love it.
3/1/1s?
Yeah.
And another card? And another spell?
Where's that other little green card?
Which one?
I don't know which one I'm thinking of. Maybe it was the elephant I was thinking of.
Ooh.
What?
What about Gonti's Aether Heart?
He's got a heart made of ether.
I know.
Yeah, this card's craziness.
You get to take another turn.
You get to take and you know, Heart the Water Veil didn't actually enter into standard for quite a while after it was printed. But it did eventually.
It made its way there.
Yeah.
And this one, so it's 6, legendary artifact. When it or another artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you get energy. Pay 8 energy, exile Gonti's Aether Heart, take an extra turn.
What?
It's pretty sick.
It's great, and I love that you have to exile these because it's just way too sick. Yeah, because
otherwise people would recur them.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
You'd never get to not have a turn.
Are you going to do this? Are you going to do this?
What?
Are you going to play this card and take the extra turn?
I mean, in limited, all the time. Yes, every time, yes.
Every day I put this in my deck.
Yes.
I'm taking extra turn.
Yes.
Can I speak to you about another artifact that is insane?
Sure.
Just like the design makes my innards jumble around with
tickle
laugh. It's Consulate Dreadnought 1. So it costs 1 colorless mana. Guess what its power and toughness are.
Oh, I know.
You'll never guess because it's 7/11.
Yeah.
Hop down to the 7/11 for an Icy and a Consulate Dreadnought.
But Maria.
What?
Crew 6.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. So I think the idea is you play this beast for 1, and then what is it up here? Siege modification, 1 red aura, enchant artifact or creature or vehicle.
Enchant creature or vehicle. As long as enchanted permanent is a vehicle, it's a creature in addition to its other types. Enchanted creature gets +3/+0 and has first strike. I want to see that happen.
Live
I want
the dream.
To see
that go
I want to see someone slap those two cards together and just like wreck.
I'm swinging for 10 on turn 3. That's nuts. I mean, this card's very dumb, but
it's
like...
It's really bad.
That's hilarious.
Don't play it.
I mean, except if you...
Unless you have like 4 copies of Siege Modification and 4 copies of this, I would watch that deck all day.
So would I. I mean, you're going to get people with that.
Can you imagine what your opponent would think? If turn 1 you play a Consulate Dreadnought, they're going to be like, oh, F.
Yeah. There's an actual good vehicle here that's been spoiled. Untether Express, 4 generic mana for a 4/4 artifact creature vehicle trample. Whenever it attacks, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. Crew 1.
Pretty good.
Are you saying this makes you want to fall asleep, this card?
I almost yawned.
But
that's unrelated.
Pain Train 2.0 here.
That's very true.
That's so good. Oh, makes me excited just looking at it. Mm-hmm. We're down in colorless cards right now. Is there any back up here in the colored realm?
I mean, there's so many exciting cards.
These are also good.
And we're going to get to talk about so many of them next episode with Judge Rob.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So everything is going to be spoiled by next episode?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, right?
Judge Rob coming on next episode to tell us all about all of these mechanics and tricky things you might encounter at your pre-release. It's a must listen if you want to go in knowing everything that might come up as a question when you're playing your opponent, these sorts of things. Because I know I went to 4 different pre-release events last set, and I had a lot of opponents who were like, oh, does this work this way? This work this way? And I'm like, hold up, my friend. I know, because Judge Rob told me so. Sometimes they didn't believe me, which was quite frustrating. But then they found out I was right. So you want to be the right one. Yeah. So let's do our episode Judge Rob next week. Speaking of judges, Megan.
That's right. So online recently, a couple of weeks back at Grand Prix Denver, on camera, there was a judge call that was controversial because a lot of players felt that they knew that they were right in the scenario, and the judge call went the other way.
Yeah.
And a lot of people disagreed with it. All the way to the head judge, yeah. So the call was made, and it was appealed. And so it was regarding the interaction between veteran motorist and smuggler's copter.
Yep.
A veteran motorist says that vehicles crewed by it get +1/+1.
Correct.
Which would make smuggler's copter a 4/4. And so, you know, I think it was Shahar went ahead and crewed his smuggler's copter with his veteran motorist.
Yes.
And his opponent went to go deal 3 damage to it with some spell that deals exactly 3 damage.
Yeah.
And Shahar was like, no, it actually works that it's a 4/4. It's never not a 4/4 when it's a creature if it's crewed by veteran motorist. And the judge ruled, no, the triggers go on the stack such that it's a vehicle and then it gets +1/+1. But it actually turns out that
it just happens.
It just It just happens. Yeah. Exactly. There's not a trigger to respond to in that situation. It is a 4/4 as soon as it is a creature that's targetable by creature, you know, damage spells.
Right, which is unusual. Yeah. Normally, this sort of thing would be a stack situation, but it is not in this case.
Veteran Motorist is a unique card that just says, hey, if it's crewing this vehicle, it's got the +1/+1. It doesn't go on the stack.
Right.
Like a Renegade Freighter, for instance, which when it attacks, the +1/+1 goes on the stack. So anyways, but the judge recently, the head judge who was appealed to, made a post saying, hey, he made that call wrong. And in part, it was because he didn't, because he was told, hey, it's in the feature match, it's on camera, we need to get this, like, done quickly.
There's a lot of pressure, not only for players, but judges down there as well.
Exactly, for judges. So he didn't double check wording, you know, he wrote this whole thing saying, like, hey, like, what you really deserved for me to take the time to check that. And in the future, I will check it. And judges always check that. One, an interaction to be aware of.
Yeah. And two,
always take the time.
Yeah, I think there's a good point being made that you can learn from this as well as you've ever made a judge call in your life, which I have, Megan has, which is if you disagree with the ruling given by your judge, you can always appeal. And it's no problem. Judges are out. I've never seen a judge seem even remotely miffed by being like, could I please appeal?
And I'm sure it happens to them literally all the time.
Okay, sure. I'll go get another person. So they appeal, and that's totally fine. And if the head judge still disagrees with you, but you believe you're correct and you're like, are really certain, you can even say, hey, I know that there is a ruling about this on Gather or something, and I've seen it on there, or would you please check the rulings for this card, because those will come up and they'll be listed like, these are strange interactions that have happened with this card. And judges can take a look at that. And that's something that don't be afraid to push for that, because it can make a huge difference. And even, you know, even the pros forget to do that. So,
and you're worth it.
Just like Maybelline said.
I don't think it's Maybelline.
You're right. It's not.
That's maybe she's beautiful. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe she's born with it.
Maybe she's beautiful, or maybe she's just an ugly beast with makeup on. Megan, your marketing director senses.
Not on it, man.
I've got one.
Maybe she's beautiful. Honestly, nah.
I mean, that's kind of what they're implying with that. That's but true. Anyway.
But it's just like a more polite way to say it. Maria?
Yes, Megan?
It's L'Oreal.
It's L'Oreal?
Yes, because you're worth it.
Speaking of worth it, I'll tell you what's worth it.
Vintage. It looks like so much fun.
It's a lot of money, but usually worth it because the decks are sick.
Yeah. One of the things that I've like discovered that I really enjoy watching is Vintage Super League.
Yeah.
Which it like takes a while to get into it because it is really intense and a lot of crazy things happen.
There is a learning curve.
Oh my goodness, is there ever a learning curve?
But what's more perfect for getting over a learning curve than watching some players play really crazy decks and having good commentary about
it? Exactly. And other excellent players do excellent commentary about it. So we super recommend.
I'm from Recordmender. You got a tear in your record?
That's right.
Bring it in. Old timey record.
Read all about it.
No!
I'm Recordmender of the Vintage Super League.
Oh, I did. I should have known that me doing that voice and callback old timey newscaster.
He heard it and came running. He was like, there's people who sound like me.
Half across the 1920s and he darted into this room.
Yep.
Oh, so Vintage Super League, just a little background on it. Mm-hmm. They get a bunch of players who are good.
Yes.
And they're like, make some vintage decks, you fools.
Yes.
And they compete. You can watch them on the Magic channel. That's twitch.tv/magic. And they have different
Tuesday
seasons.
Nights. What the freak are you doing on a Tuesday?
Probably watching something terrible on Netflix.
That's right. Watch this instead.
Yeah. And it's great. Yeah. I was watching it tonight, too.
Also, last season's winner was former Magic the Prothering guest, Eric Froelich. Right now they do a couple of weeks of qualifier spots. Mm-hmm. So some of the people who did well last season are brought back, but then they also have a couple of weeks of, hey, you can qualify for the Vintage Super
League. Could I qualify?
Yeah. No.
Like, how do I get a qualifier spot is what I'm saying.
I think you have to actually play Vintage to start. All right. I think that's where you need starting to start. Point. That's your starting spot. I'll give
every
it to you.
Hill has a bottom, as they say. Meaning a butt.
I think, like, every mountain has a base. Makes it sound more noble.
That does sound way better than every hill has a bottom. That's going to be my motivational poster.
Every hill has a bottom.
Yeah, and yours will be every mountain has a base.
We'll be like, yours will just be like a picture of like a little grassy hill, like someone rolling down it. And mine will be, you know, K2.
An epic mountain shot. We're like two detectives. Anyways. And those are both on our walls in our interrogation room. Anyway, continue. Wait,
are you putting posters, motivational posters in your interrogation room?
Yeah,
a detective.
I just want the alleged criminals to have something nice to look at when I'm playing good cop and you're playing Kilimanjaro.
Where were you on the night of March 18th? Also, every mountain has a base.
But did you know every hill is a bottom? I can get you coffee. My partner is crazy, but I like you, man.
Where were you on the night of March 18th?
Do you want to look at a cat video?
Every mountain has a base.
I want to tickle you with a feather duster.
What?
That might be, construed as torture.
I think that's construed as torture.
But I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyways, they're playing Vintage. And do you know what is the hit of Vintage at the moment?
What?
Monastery Mentor.
That's a card we know.
That sure is, because it came out in our time.
You know what's funny is that I think of a format like Vintage, and I think it's only old dusty cards that are, covered in years of love. But actually... Sorry I said it that way. I regret it, okay? I regret it. But... What I meant is that I'm like imagining cards that are like worn, triple sleeve.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Blah,
I get
blah,
it.
Blah.
Yes, yes.
So Monastery Mentor is living proof that Vintage is a living format that is evolving to this day.
We have seen three cards that have made it into Vintage in our time.
Like Treasure Cruise?
Treasure Cruise, which was had to be restricted. Dig Through Time, which I believe is also restricted. And Monastery Mentor.
Oh, cool.
And some of these decks, these mentor decks, are playing Jace Vryn's Prodigy, either main deck or in the sideboard.
You know what's funny is that the list we're looking up here right now is called Gush Mentor, which is definitely not under 13 appropriate. But I know that card because of the Vintage Cube, which was up on Magic Online now.
Yeah, yeah.
That Judge April learned me about. And we passed a Gush the other day, Megan. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool to see these cards in actual decks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyways, it is the toast of the town.
What is its deal?
So it plays Monastery Mentor.
Okay.
Which, is the prowess that makes other prowess monks.
Yep.
As one of its prowess abilities. And then you play just a lot of card draw, some counter spells. You play a lot of, cards that are restricted, which means you can only play one copy.
Like so
you play
Ancestral Recall.
Yeah, you play an Ancestral Recall, you play a Black Lotus, you play some of the Moxen.
Whoa, all these Moxes!
You play Time Walk, you play Treasure Cruise, which is also restricted. And then you play, counters like Mental Misstep, which counters something with converted mana cost 1, Force of Will, which we know. So, yeah, that's that.
That's kind of cool. I recognize these cards, and I've learned what they are just from playing the Vintage Cube. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known, like Mental Misstep.
Yeah, and also a lot of it play some number of copies of Jace the Mind Sculptor.
You know what's neat is that Monastery Mentor is just kind of hanging out, doing its thing.
It makes all these monks.
Making a ton of monks with all these super cheap spells, getting its prowess triggers, and just attacking.
Yeah, this deck wins via damage with creatures.
Cool.
How mundane.
Whatever. I love it. I love it because it's just like one little Monastery Mentor.
It's really cool because you can also see it sometimes, like they've exhausted their hand by the time they play it and then it just chips in for damage.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's like they play it and then it's like card draw spell, counter spell war of some kind. And they make all these monks and they kill their opponent in like one turn.
Sweet.
It's really cool.
I mean, a lot of these spells only cost 1.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you get to see this deck go off today?
I watched it because I think of the 4 people playing today, 3 were on this deck. It is good. So I got to watch it a lot. Whoops. It was great. So go check those out.
Yeah, VintageSuperLeague.com is where you can find info about where and when to watch deck lists. You can check out who happens to be playing this week.
Yep.
And it's just it's a really interesting format with some really broken stuff. And if you want to get a better grip on some older cards that are really powerful, I would highly recommend checking out the Vintage Super League, because I found myself in that position at one time in my life. I'm like, I'll never understand this. Well, guess what?
Hey, guess what?
Boom. It helps you understand.
Yeah, man.
It's winter time!
Hey, everybody. We are ready to announce the winner of a box of Eternal Masters.
I know. I'm so excited.
The winner is...
Drum roll. You say the name better than I do.
Canadian.
It's a Canadian.
Aaron McElhinney!
Yay! Congratulations, Aaron. Thank you so much for subbing to us on YouTube. Your box of Eternal Masters will come ship its way to you, and you can do a sweet draft with all of your buddies up there.
That's right. We told you he's in Canada, but we're not going to tell you what city, so you can't go chasing after him.
And try and find that box.
Exactly.
I need that sweet box.
I smell a box of Eternal Masters and the sweet smell of cracked boosters.
Can you smell a box of Eternal Masters from a mile away?
I think if it's been unwrapped.
The new card smell. Ting! How far does it travel? Science, figure it out.
It's like the dark mark above something.
Yeah.
It like sends it up in the air, and it's like...
The bat signal.
A box of Eternal Masters has been opened here.
Do you think you could give a bloodhound the scent of a cracked pack and it could find another one?
I really want to conduct that experiment, honestly.
Somebody, if you have a bloodhound, conduct this experiment for us.
Yeah, I want to know.
It can't be the same one. You've got to be like, get the scent, buddy. Go find another one and then hide it in your house somewhere.
I don't know how to train bloodhounds, though, so...
Neither do I.
It's difficult to say.
Thank you to everybody who entered the contest, and thank you so much for playing. I hope you get some good content out of us. That's not the way I meant to say that.
Nope.
I hope you enjoy the content we produce for being a subscriber to our YouTube channel and a follower on Twitch. We just streamed last night a sweet 3-0 vintage cube deck.
That's right. It was so terrible.
Yes. But it was great.
It made Judge April cry.
She hated it.
More than once.
We hoofed them.
We didn't even lose a game.
We didn't lose a single game.
We didn't lose a single game.
So yeah, we've got some sweet streams to check out. And of course, more videos coming your way soon on youtube.com/MTAcast. So if you didn't enter, come and join our sub train anyway, because we're trying to get to 10,000 on YouTube. And we're so close.
We're so close, everybody.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's going to be really sweet.
We can do it.
Check it out. And congrats again to Aaron. And thank you to everybody who played. We'll probably do some more sweet contests in the future, because I love contests, man.
Yeah, they're good.
Flavortext Theater presents Make It a Rare.
That's right. We're going to crack this booster of Kaladesh, pull out the cards, and make them rare if they are not already rare. Also, the contents of this booster will be added to our new pile for a listener giveaway in January. So if you are a patron, you will be entered in that. If you newly become a patron, you will be entered in both that and our new patron for the month of January drawing, which will get a sweet, the first GP Louisville playmat.
Yeah.
Not the one coming up.
No,
but the team one that happened.
The team one.
Yes.
We'll get know what it is?
It's Gisa and Garolf.
Oh, yeah. That was a really cool playmat.
Yeah, they'll get a sweet Gisa and Garolf playmat. So, go become a patron.
Yeah.
But
two
also,
ways to win.
Let's make it a rare.
And if it's a rare, we'll make it a common.
Perfect.
Ooh.
All right.
All right, Bloodhound. Can you smell this? Smell this, Bloodhound. Okay. I've got a copy of Malphus Squad here. It has Menace, Fabricate 1, it's a 3-1. So if I'm going to make Malphus Squad a rare for 4 mana, I'm going to keep Menace on it just so that it can, have it kind of retain its identity. What if it was Fabricate 3? No, that's still not a rare. That's not flashy enough.
What if it had Flash? Speaking of flashy enough. Whoa! Flash Menace Fabricate 3.
Wow! That's strong. That is strong. I don't know if that's better than rare territory. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. Flip it. That's a rare.
Okay, larger than life. One of a green. Target creature gets +4/+4 and gains trample until end of short turn. It's a sorcery. I'm going to make it an instant for a single green.
Wow.
And it gets, target creature gets +X/+X and gains trample, where X is its power.
Sweet.
So.
That card's pretty sick. I would draft that card. Appetite for the Unnatural. 2 and a green for an instant. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. You gain 2 life. I'm going to make this a really crappy rare.
Mm-hmm.
So it does the same thing, but you gain 20 life.
Sure.
What a garbage card. People would play that and make me very mad.
Unlicensed Disintegration. 1 black/red. Instant. Yeah. Destroy target creature. If you control an artifact, it deals 3 damage. Anyways, destroy target creature or planeswalker.
Yeah. Welding Sparks, 2 and a red, deals X damage to target creature, where X is 3 plus the number of artifacts you control. I could make this a rare by making it cost red.
I was going to say, also add or player to that one.
Or player, yeah. Yep. Perfect.
So, this is difficult. Select for inspection, blue. Instant, return target tap creature to its owner's hand, scry 1.
Draw 1? That wouldn't be, that's like not a rare,
no, that's
but
not a rare yet.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Return target trap creature to its owner's hand. Scry 1. Gosh.
That one's hard.
Untap all lands you control. Done.
Creeping Mold. 2 green/green. Destroy target artifact, enchantment, or land. And... Destroy target artifact, enchantment, land, planeswalker, or creature.
There you go. Yep.
Perfect.
Thriving Ibex.
Oh.
Thrive-X.
How do you make a rare goat?
I'm going to make it a 4/4 flying goat.
That's pretty sweet. Bastion Mastodon. It costs 5 for 4/5. For a white, it gets vigilance until end of turn. This is a dumb artifact elephant that just kind of was a big piece of beef.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just imagining it in a different card frame to kind of inspire me.
Yeah.
It's going to cost 3, and it's going to be a 5/5, but, like, you can only cast it if you control 2 or more artifacts.
Okay. I dig.
That's kind of cool.
Demolition Stomper, 6 for a 10/7, can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less, crew 5. I'm going to give it...
Trample.
I'm going to give it haste and trample.
Nice. Beating. Renegade Tactics. Uh-oh, it's another weird one. It's a single red. Target creature can't block this turn. Draw a card. Untap all lands you control.
Perfect. That's my perfect solution to all of these.
Just put that on the end of it.
Just put that on the end of everything.
That's cheaty.
Oh, that Revoke is the privileges. 2 and a white. Enchant creature. Can't attack, block, or crew vehicles.
Oh, yes. I've got mine. That's weird because, like, well, think of Faith's Fetters. Is that a rare? Or is it just in cubes? Because it's good. You gain 4 life.
You gain 4 life, and you can put it on any permanent, I think. Well, not lands, but you can put it on planeswalkers. Okay, I'm just going to make this face better. You can enchant creature, vehicle, or planeswalker, and its activated abilities can't be activated. It can't attack or block, and its activated abilities can't be activated.
I've saved the best for last, Megan.
Okay.
Because I've got Terror of the Fairgrounds. 3 and a red for a stupid 5/2 gremlin. Yep. I'm changing this into what it should be. I'm going to write down legendary... Legendary Gremlin. It's going to be, give Grems, get +1, +1.
You're giving us a Gremlin Lord.
Yep. and then it's still going to cost 4 because I like that. It's going to be a 4/4. And it gets some other ability. Grems get +1/+1.
And get
haste. Yes. Terror of the Fairgrounds. I've now altered you to be the legendary gremlin that not only
you'll get
we
this
need,
Maria altar of Terror of the Fairgrounds.
It's really, it's pretty exclusive.
Yeah.
This is the card we need. Do you hear me, Wizards? I know you're previewing cards this literal day and week, but please, if you haven't, get into the print lines, put that legendary gremlin into the print run and say bye, because you'll be making a lot of gremlin money. Just saying.
All right, ready to make it a common?
Yeah, let's make it a common.
Insidious Will, 2 blue/blue. instant, choose one, counter target spell. You may choose new targets for target spell, or copy target instant or sorcery spell. You may choose new targets for the copy.
I've got it. Counter target spell. Yeah, I was about to say,
yep. We just eliminate all of the options and just have it say counter target spell. Even better, eliminate other options and have it say you may choose new targets for target. Oh, no, that's probably better. Nope, counter target spell. The end.
So this sweet pile of cards will be added to our Patreon drawing, and so will a bunch of other ones that we do Flavor Text Theater with this month. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out. We went over some sweet preview cards, and we'll have even more, meaning the entire set, next week with our Judge Rob episode to prep you for the pre-release coming up the coming weekend, which is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. Speaking of, there will be the pre-release on the Loading Ready Runs channel this weekend.
I'm so excited.
So make sure you tune in and check that out. It will be so cool to watch them playing with all of those new cards. The earliest you can possibly see people playing with them.
Yeah. So
sweet.
That plus Judge Rob's episode, you're going to go into your LGS and be like,
knowing what's what.
Knowledge drop.
That's right.
Oh, I can't wait, Megan.
It'll be so great.
Pre-releases are, I think, my favorite thing about Magic.
They're pretty good.
I love them because nobody knows what they're doing. Yeah. Like, you're like, I think this card is good. And then you look back at yourself a few weeks later and you're like, my God, I was an imbecile.
I was a monster.
I was an idiot. But that's the joy, you know?
Yeah,
that's
it really the joy. Is.
People don't know the tricks yet, so you can really get them. And if you've got a little extra knowledge, you can extra really kind of get them. Big thank you again to Card Kingdom, our fabulous sponsor. Head over there if you want to get your hands on any of these Aether Revolt cards the second that you're able to buy them. Pick them up for your decks while you can. Get them early and get people at FNM or whatever the earliest tournaments you're going to play are. We should note as well that Megan and I will be attending GP San Jose.
That's right.
Coming up this month.
So if you're there, come say hi.
Yeah.
Give us a good luck high five.
We'll give you a high five.
That's right.
Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out our website, magicthamshiring.com. It's going through a little bit of improvements right now. So under the video tab, I've got new categories. You can see all of our Pro the Rings in one place, all of our episode videos in one place, all of April's Cube videos in one place. Kind of nice.
Cool.
That's there.
Yep. And make sure you go follow that YouTube channel.
Yeah, we want to get to 10K.
And follow us on Twitch.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Until next time, remember to keep your gremlins close.
And your gremlin grenades closer.